Mayor
Yeah, of
DePinnock, could you
course.
start the meeting for us?
I guess I can. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Tom, will you follow us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
All right.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and for all.
Mayor DePinnock, we do not have any agenda modifications. This is also a time for disclosures of any conflicts of interest.
Okay, is there any disclosures?
And I apologize to this. I clearly I'm not very good at this. Mayor, we're gonna do roll call next. Is that okay?
Yes, roll call is fine.
City of Desert Hot Springs. City of Coachella.
Present.
City of Palm Springs. City of Indio.
Palm Springs.
City of Palm Springs is here. 29 Palms Band of Mission Indian.
Here.
Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indian. Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indian.
Here.
Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indian.
Here.
City of Indian Wells.
Here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Indio. I'm sorry. City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Blythe.
Here.
County of Riverside. City of Rancho Mirage.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. I guess we move on to any questions for public comment on the agenda items.
Here, we have not received any. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to make a public comment on a agenda item? Ethan, any members online for agenda items? We have none, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I want to apologize. If I'd known this was happening, I'd have been there, okay? So, chair, anybody, I know chair don't have no comments. Any directors' comments?
I have none.
Boy, you're moving wrong fast this time.
I've got 10 minutes to catch up on.
Really. Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar.
Lupita moves approval of consent.
I'll second, Rancho Mirage.
Then moving to second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Bly says aye. Yes, motion carries. Okay, discussion items. Item A, Tom.
Yeah, Julie, will you come on up and get started? Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair and Executive Committee members. My name is Julie Mignona, Transportation Program Manager at CVAG, here to present the request for approval of Amendment Number 2 to the Reimbursement Agreement for the South Palm Canyon Bridge Replacement Project. This action will increase CVAG's regional funding contributions by $1.26 million for approximately $2.13 million. CVAG has partnered with the City of Palm Springs on this project since 2014 and has supported planning and design phases. The project replaces the existing bridge over Tockwitz Creek to ensure long-term structural integrity and public safety. You can see the location here, and it is adjacent to the CV Link there in green as well. Construction began on this project in August of 2024 and is currently underway. The need for additional funding is due to higher than anticipated preliminary engineering and permitting costs, right-of-way redesign, and coordination efforts. And it added construction requirements such as cultural monitoring and increased bid prices reflected in the awarded construction contract. The total project cost is approximately $17.35 million, you can see on the screen, with significant federal and partner funding secured. These funding partners include Federal Highway Bridge Program, Desert Water Agency, Southern California Gas, and the City of Palm Springs local share. This amendment ensures sufficient funding is in place to complete construction and avoid any delays. And staff is recommending approval to advance this critical infrastructure project that will enhance safety and regional resiliency. So staff is recommending authorizing the chair and executive director to execute amendment number 2 to the reimbursement agreement with the City of Palm Springs for the South Palm Canyon Drive Bridge Replacement Project over Tockwitz Creek, increasing CVAD's regional share to $2.125 million. I'm available to answer any questions you may
have. Any, Mayor, may I help you along here? Any questions for Julie?
I've got a couple. So this is an increase in the CVAG portion. And I'm curious if this has been part of the plan, because we heard last week how challenged CVAG is. Maybe someone can comment on the additional $2 million and the impact on CVAG. And secondly, as it relates to these larger scale transportation projects, there's a belief in our city that all of us will have some kind of participation in some of these larger projects on a city-by-city basis. I'm wondering if you can shed some light on that for a newbie like myself.
No problem at all. The mayor is correct. We've been talking about cash flow challenges at CVAG. Gone were the days where we had lots of money to do great projects, and we will be challenged in the coming years. Jonathan Hoy, our transportation director, has given some presentations, in fact, many over the past few years. We will be recommending some various options in the coming months back to the executive committee to address that. This is small change. I don't want to minimize, a couple million dollars. This will not significantly impact cash flow, and CVAG and our cities love projects like this where there's lots of federal money, and ours is to leverage the federal money. With respect to cities participating, this is a relatively small project. And when it's a city project entirely within one city's boundaries, that's a city and CVAG project, not all cities project. Other projects like a Monroe interchange, we will be going back out to the member agencies, and there'll be a cost share, most of which in the case of Monroe will be borne by Indio, but there'll be a little bit of pain from each of the cities to contribute to that project.
And when does that number get shared?
Yeah, it actually already has been, and Jonathan?
It's the next item on the agenda.
Yep. Yeah. So it was on the Transportation Committee, and we'll be discussing it next.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Anybody else got any questions?
Just one quick. You may have addressed this, but we're being asked to contribute more. Were the other funding entities asked to contribute more?
No.
With respect to we, of course, CVAG is being asked. This is the non-federal part of the funding of the project. It's only the city and CVAG that are impacted, correct?
So basically, the other contributions are firm at the dollar amount that got it.
Cool.
Not a question, but just a comment. Its connection to CV Link is going to be just really well done. It already looks so good on that South Riverside Drive portion. And so I'm really excited for these two projects to overlap.
Great. Mayor, looks like there aren't any other questions or comments. You want to call for a motion?
Yes, sir. Can I get a motion, please?
Public comment comes at the beginning of the meeting on all agenda.
On all agenda. Okay.
Rancher Mirage will make the motion.
I'll second.
Rancher Mirage has made the motion. Palm Springs is the second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Blood Bly says aye. Motion approved.
And for those of you who are wondering why the chair, vice chair, is mentioning Blythe, since he's virtual, we have to record his vote distinctly. So unanimously approved. We move on.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, amendment to the reimbursement agreement to the Monroe Street Interstate 10 interchange. Guess Julie's doing that one too.
She's got it.
Good afternoon again. I am presenting this item as well, requesting approval of on this screen, Nathan.
No.
Requesting approval of amendment number 8 to advance the Monroe Street I-10 interchange into the construction phase. I'll get them a moment. The project location there along Interstate 10 and Monroe. Here is the exact project location. This action increases CVAG's regional funding commitment by $56.5 million for a total of $68.6 million. This project is the number one priority in the region's Transportation Project Prioritization Study, or TPPS, and it is critical for reducing congestion, improving mobility, and supporting regional growth. CVAG has partnered on this project since 2007, and this action represents the transition from the planning and design phases to construction. And this project is on track to advertise for bid in August of 2026 and begin construction in January of 2027. It's the latest dates. The total project cost is a whopping $181 million. If you saw this item back in December of 2025 as a consent item, just extending the time trigger, at that point, the total estimate was $175 million. So it's increasing, fortunately, by the day. So they're very excited to get this one out to bid. The regional funding strategy for this project includes a 75% CVAG share and 25% local share of the local or regional proportionate share of this. And it will be allocated based on proportionate use. So a proportionate cost share study is currently underway to finalize each jurisdiction's local funding contribution. This was the question on the last item. CVAG staff and agency staff are currently reviewing the technical study memo. These are the draft percentages and cost share based on the current cost estimate. And the study and MOUs with each jurisdiction will come back to the transportation and executive committees for review here shortly. This funding must be secured now in order to maintain schedule and proceed to bid without any delays. That is the reason it is coming before it goes out to bid. Amendment number 9 for the tri-party agreement will come back as well, and that will clarify the payment terms of the regional share and will come back after bids have been opened for any adjustments needed at that point. Staff recommends approval to ensure timely delivery of this critical regional infrastructure project, and the recommendation is to authorize the executive director to execute amendment number 8 to the reimbursement agreement with the City of Indio and the County of Riverside for the Monroe Street Interstate 10 Interchange Project, providing $56,531,115 for construction, inclusive of $30.848 million already obligated, but it wasn't in the actual amendment. Any questions?
Is there any questions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All together.
With this funding structure, because again, this is my first year on board the exec committee. I'm thinking about Portola. Can we anticipate the same funding structure for projects moving forward, or is this unique to this project?
It's not unique to this project, but it is unique in the United States. This is, you talk to your colleagues when you go to a league meeting and said, we're contributing to a project that is 25 miles away. In another city, in fact, six cities stand between us and them, they would look at you like, what's going on? We've been doing this for 20 years, and we do it because, of course, Palm Desert residents are using Monroe Interchange. The challenge going forward, whether that policy continues or not is up to you. I'd certainly recommend we continue doing it. We've been doing it. It's only fair. Everybody's benefited from it. A lot of agencies certainly benefited. The real challenge is just the cash flow. CVAG's not going to have much money. And of course, these we're not getting as much federal and state money, and that's going to be a major subject moving forward. Plan, our staff's plan, unless you change it, is that we continue with that policy. Everybody helps out on these major projects.
That was one of the considerations during the financial analysis discussion on you would keep 75-25 and then some, we're going to go 50-50 in future projects just based on where the.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, I see Manuel Perez is back. I'm going to turn it over back to him if it's okay.
Hi. Hey, Joey. Folks, I apologize. We just had an administrative committee meeting, but apparently it took a little longer than everybody else.
If you're fine, I'll let you take over.
Thank you, Joey.
We are on item 5B. Another question from Mayor Rich Mirage.
Yes.
As I'm new to the executive committee as well, could you flip back to the cost share page with mine? So if you could help me with our cost share of $805,000 and some change, how does that cost share calculate?
There was a trip distribution study that's done to determine where are trips coming from, where are they going to. So in this case, it could either be folks in Rancho Mirage that we project will use Monroe to get to shopping, school, or work, or it could be a worker in Indio who's getting to Rancho Mirage via Monroe interchange.
Any other questions from folks?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Do we have enough money to pay for what we're committing to here?
This is a doozy. This is the biggest commitment of CBAG regional dollars, certainly in my relatively long tenure here. And we have enough money.
We do.
We have reserves. And when we get around to budget time, you'll find some years we essentially operate as a surplus because we don't have as many expenditures. Some years we don't. Our budget is very capital intensive. Our operating costs are relatively low. Our capital expenditures are high, but we do have reserves, substantial reserves that we can pay for this.
Good, thank you.
I hope to say the same thing in 4 years.
Any other questions? Are you ready to entertain a motion on staff's recommendation?
Omnesic moves to approve.
Pichel seconds.
Okay, there's a initial motion by Mr. Evan Truby and second by Mr. Frank Figueroa. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Do you want to do an all call?
Yes, please.
Okay. City of Desert Hot Springs?
Aye.
City of Coachella?
Aye.
City of Palm Springs?
Aye.
City of India? 29 Palms Band of Mission Indian?
Aye.
Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indian? Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indian?
Aye.
Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indian?
Aye.
City of Indian Wells?
Aye.
City of Cathedral City?
Yes.
City of Palm Desert?
Yes.
City of La Quinta?
Aye.
City of Blythe?
Yes.
Riverside County District 1? Riverside County District 2? Riverside County District 3? Riverside County District 4?
Yes.
Riverside County District 5? City of Rancho Mirage?
Yes.
Chair, the motion passes. All right.
Thank you, everybody. Just very quickly, welcome back, Jen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're probably
good, sir.
Good to see you. All right, so now we're going to move on to item 5C, California Encampment Resolution Funding. Ms. Erica Kelsey.
Thank you, Chair, committee members. This, did we go too far? I don't see 5C. I'm going to wing it. California's Encampment Resolution Funding. This is a pot of funding that is coming available through the state's Department of Housing and Community Development. Those of you who sat, you can stop the sheriff. Those of you who sat on the Homelessness Committee will know that we did bring this forward This is Cameron Resolution Funding is about is part of the state's broader efforts to resolve homelessness, and it's really about providing people funding to clear up encampments for people. Do I have mine in my wrong order? this HUD HCD issued a notice of funding availability for the fifth round of funding and is making $93 million available statewide. Applications are being accepted on a rolling basis between now and June 30th. Riverside County, cities, and the continuum of care can apply. CVAC cannot directly apply. But the county has been very successful in securing ERF funds over three rounds that have touched all the other districts in the county. They are now looking to bring money home to the fourth supervisor district. And they reached out to CVAG about partnering with our Housing First program. We, in turn, turned to our Coachella Valley Conservation Commission and said, we know a lot of land that could use some encampment cleanups. And so the motion before you is to authorize the executive director to take the necessary steps on CVAG's part to partner with the county. They would be the lead applicant and go after some big money through the ERF funding. Our idea then would be to bring this to the CVCC next month and seek their support, and combined we would come together on an application. Now, normally we would come to you when we have this partnership a little bit more firmed up. And admittedly, this is very early in the partnership process, but this is accepted on a rolling basis and funds are being awarded. And so we do want to get our foot in the door, as it were. And the county is reaching out to other partners across the fourth district, other service providers, to see what kind of broad application we would be able to get. So with this funding, we would then utilize other partnerships, such as the Cal Recycle Grant that the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission had, and we would use that towards a broader effort to clean up lands over the next couple of years. And with that, the motion, since it's not on screen, would be to authorize the executive director to take the necessary steps to partner with Riverside County on this application. My apologies for not having the slides ready.
Folks, I may very quickly ask a question. Erica, you mentioned that the county is now finally able or willing to move in this direction. What's taking so long? I should probably know this, but I don't. And so I know that we've worked in other areas. What's your opinion on what's, and if you want to say it out loud, that's fine. If you don't, we can talk offline, but I just want to know what's going on.
Well, the county certainly has moved in this direction in terms of securing funding. And yes, they've looked at other areas. If you would ask county staff, which I'm not, but the county staff has told us that because they had already invested in, say, the navigation center, they were trying to spread their efforts around. We did approach them a couple of years ago about an application. It didn't quite work out. We had envisioned a more focused area in and around Desert Hot Springs where the CVCC land goes into urban areas. The timing just didn't work out. So now we're looking at a broader application right now. The way it's being drafted is that it would incorporate all unincorporated lands across the CVCC territory. And then we're working with KD and Will and our team over there to identify some specific properties that we could focus efforts. If we were able to get this, if we were able to get this funding, we could focus on the people. So as you all know and have heard, outreach is, you know, it's labor intensive. That would require a lot of time. This would be funding that would help us do the outreach. And then we could take some of our other resources like the Cal Recycle Grant, come in. And then after we've found those individuals with a housing solution, we can come in and then use our other money to clean up the land for habitat purposes.
Can you share with us potentially, if you happen to know this, in the other areas within the county districts, which districts and how much have they actually been able to?
No, one of the big ones is the San Jacinto River Bottom. They got $12 million and they helped more than 180 individuals. I would note the city of Palm Springs was successful in getting a city grant. That one focused along the Tockwitz Creek stormwater channel. And actually CVAG was not partnered to the grant, but some of our CV200 clients have been there. We've been working with the city to then identify some partnerships. But in this case, we anticipate we would be identified as a more formal partner, and we did want authorization to seek the funding.
Thank you for that. Obviously, I'll follow up very good. Any other questions by my colleagues?
Erica, you started to touch on it, but it says this, I'm always in favor of seeking funding that the group could use, but could you be a little more specific on what this money could be used for and what it couldn't be used for?
Yeah, it's going to be really about helping individuals. So the way, in broad terms, one, we're going to have to better analyze exactly where our encampments are. So there's going to be some data analysis. I'd anticipate that would be part of it. We'll certainly need resources to be able to go out in the field. If you have ever been part of any of our encampment or heard about our encampments, you can't just go out to an individual in an encampment and expect them to move after one connection, right? This would be repeated outreach over some time. And then there would be a housing first component, finding them a permanent solution or a connection to. This is where the Housing First program can come in. And obviously they're going to be looking for landowners where they can have access, which is what we'll be asking the CVCC to support next month.
So this is for the services, the contacts, and possibly some
Correct.
Of the follow-up?
Yes.
But it's not for the cleanup. That's
there. I believe there's some, there would be some encampment cleanup, some of the broader, let me call it more restoration, putting on this more the CV, some of the more restoration aspects that would probably we would use other grant funding for that, I would anticipate. But we're still working with them. The county has a call next week, and I recognize this is, like I said, it's a little bit ahead of where finalizing the details, but it is a rolling application, and your next meeting is not till June 1st.
Yes, go ahead.
It can be used to support interim housing for the people that you are supporting.
That's the part, because you know, you said we're going to provide services to people. I was hoping you could give some examples.
Yes,
you have touched on a few, and I understand. I'm not going to press you because I understand it's not totally defined yet. So, and I'm okay with that. But I guess I wanted to be clear that it's not to go in and, you know, it's not for the cleanup itself. It's not to go in and, you know, bulldoze and throw out trash and those types of things. Other funds will have to be used for that. It's the more of the, what do you do with, how do you contact us? What do you do with the document?
Correct. And thank you, Mayor, for the follow up there and for better clarifying. I'm sorry if I didn't fully answer that question, but yes, this the part of the reason that we were reached out to at the CVAC side is this is very much relies on the housing. The state is continuing to look at the housing first model and how you connect folks with permanent housing solutions.
What's the timing on this in terms of authorizing the approval to request the grant funds? But when will they be issued?
I think they're hoping to know as soon as later this year. So so the grant would be due the end of June. There's a bit of a rolling application, but the way this have worked in the past is there's often notices coming out. And I apologize. I don't know if I brought the funding spending time, but I'll be sure to have that for CVCC.
You have to know what the amount that you have to seek.
Well, those other districts got $12 million, so I'm gonna swing big. No, but we have not finalized the amount. The way the grant is if they can go after a larger area within the Coachella Valley, that's going to increase the need for services, the need for people we can reach, and the amount.
So, before I ask my colleague, I'm going to Any other questions? You know, this is actually, I think, part of a much larger conversation regarding homelessness overall. I think we've come a long way. A lot to see we're still facing these type of challenges. And something that continuously comes up is what happens when we actually go into the encampment and say we clean it up. We're not that we're going to be doing all that this cycle, but let's say we will eventually. Where do the folks go? Where do they end up? And I think that's the second piece of this puzzle that we have necessarily not really answered. We maybe have some sporadic efforts, you know, but nothing ongoing. And I also understand that the Navigation Center is now, you know, seeking funds. I also understand that other areas in the East End, like, for example, Martha's Kitchen, potentially Rescue Mission. So, you know, how we started years back was by having this kind of conversation as a And I think eventually I'd like to see if we could have that type of conversation. I know it's for later. I just want to put it out there for people to consider. It's going to be a very important one to have moving forward. And I think the more we are streamlined, the more we have goals set throughout the entire Coachella Valley for us as a team, we demonstrate that. Obviously, individuals were writing grants too. I think we looked a lot further than maybe just one city or a few cities. The entire CVEC team goes up to bat. We will have even more chances of receiving funds than not doing so. So, I want to bring that up to folks for your consideration in the future. Any other questions or thoughts of my colleagues?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
I just have one actually comment. I appreciate your context as to things that we have to discuss in the future. I would also have us think about what is kind of our baseline level of continued services we're willing to commit to working on homelessness, and then what are the opportunities where we can go above and beyond, because sustainable operations is something that we really need, like speaking for the city of Palm mm-hmm. Springs, to be able to plan and budget for beyond just 1 or 2 year cycles. And so we're extremely proud of the Navigation Center. And also we have to be able to look past our own shoes as to what those services look like.
Sure. Is there any other questions or ideas or thoughts from my colleagues? There's a motion by Mr. Popochair. Is there a second? I keep the second motion. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
City of Desert Hot Springs?
Abstain.
City of Coachella?
Yes.
City of Palm Springs?
Yes.
City of Indio? 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians?
Yes.
Torres Martinez Desert Cahuilla Indian? Amazon Band of Cahuilla Indian?
Yes.
Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indian?
Yes.
City of Indian Wells?
Yes.
City of Cathedral City?
Yes.
City of Palm Desert?
Yes.
City of La Quinta?
Aye.
City of Blythe?
Yes.
Riverside County District 1, Riverside County District 2, Riverside County District 3, Riverside County District 4?
Yes.
Riverside County District 5, City of Ranch Mirage?
Yes.
Chair of other counties, we have representatives that are being independent. They shouldn't be receiving these funds. We should be receiving them.
They're here.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to discussion item 5B, which is a request from 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians to amend CVAC Joint Powers Agreement by Minister of Consultants and giving recommendations as well as background. And before we do so, I understand that our chairman there might have a statement. Is that correct?
Yes. Oh, thank you. So basically, you know, on items on pages 72 through 90 on the agenda. It's a proposal of important changes on how we operate as a region. Center of these changes had a simple goal to ensure that tribal governments are always represented at CVAC and have a constant seat at the table. This is about fairness, inclusion, and strengthening our partnerships across the Coachella Valley. I want to thank you all who express your support for these changes. I respectfully request your continued support today. We can move forward together with all voices represented. Thank you.
Erica, you want to go ahead and give us a staff report?
Yes, thank you, Chair, committee members. The item before you, as the chair just noted, is a request from 29 Palms. And at the heart of this discussion is JPA section 2.4.3. which you'll see here, and you'll see in a couple of versions in a little bit. We have included in your rather long, my apologies, staff report, a copy of this section of the JPA, as well as the letters from the tribe and some other tribes that expressing their positions on this matter. And in this, you'll see it outlines the members to the executive committee, as well as the alternates to the executive committee, with the exception of the County of Riverside, are to be council members. So 29 Palms has been a member since 2021. Can we share so I can see at the screen? Has been a member since 2021. In that time, they've attended part of one executive committee. And sorry, in case you haven't noticed, we're having a bit of technical issues today. And they have not attended any General Assembly meetings. If you read the correspondence from the tribe, they've outlined some language. Their goal is to add a staff member, specifically their top staff member, their administrative officer, George, to the executive committee as an alternate. The letter explains exactly why. And in there, they identify some language to expand the option of an alternate on the executive committee to not just a council member, but somebody who would be formally appointed by resolution of their legislative body, specifically the highest level executive or administrative officer of the member agency. The intent, according to the letter, would be to allow the staff alternates for the tribal nations, though if you read the language, it probably could be conveyed for cities as well. We would note that the way the tribe has proposed this amendment would be a challenge for Riverside County. Riverside County's Board of Supervisors, as you heard during the roll call, they all have 5 votes. And if they can only choose their top administrator, they're all pointing to Jeff as an alternate if they need one. Should there be an interest in amending the JPA to expand the use of alternates out of the executive committee, staff and legal counsel reviewed the language and is proposing what I would call option B. See up here, this, again, some wordsmithing. This would expand the alternate option to be any employee of the member jurisdiction that is appointed through formal action. This would allow cities and tribes and the county to appoint anybody, any staff member they wanted. We amended the language. Staff is not taking a position on which option to choose, but if you were to amend it, if a tribal council has multiple members and the city council has multiple members, it seems the exception should be allowed for all of our member jurisdictions. The other option on the table would be not to change the language at all. Under this, we would remain under the current exemption for the county and everything else would remain status quo. I'd point out at this point that the use of staff has been a rarely utilized option by the county. As you all know from being at our meetings, it's more common that the other supervisors don't attend, though they are regular attendees of General Assembly. We generally haven't seen quorum issues under this. So what does this mean? If you all want to request or suggest a change to the JPA, I'd note that that is not a vote that is taken here. It's taken at all of your city councils, at the tribal council level, and at the board of the supervisors. So that would be 15 votes. I'll tell you that yours truly did the last amendment. We got about 4 votes in. One of the jurisdictions wanted to change the language. We paused, we came back to exec, and then we recirculated. And it took almost a year to circulate overall. I'd also note that CVAG used to have voting membership by staff. It became uncomfortable for staff, and at the request of your city managers, we actually disbanded TAC and some of our staff committees to avoid voting at the staff level. I'd also note that if we were to change the JPA to allow staff alternates, there would be a need for a formal amendment we would bring forward. And we would note that where there could be some sort of automatic transition to a non-voting membership as part of that, if neither the member nor the alternate attended. Additionally, there would be bylaws changes that we would need to bring back to you if you all direct us that a change to the JPA is needed. For example, the chair rotation is set in our bylaws and it's by jurisdiction. There'd be some question about whether you would want a staff member in that position as a chair or vice chair of CVAC. motion before you is to review the, or the recommendation before you is to review the options and provide us with some direction. Again, if there is interest in moving a JPA amendment to change the alternate forward, we would come back with actual language. If that was then agreed upon and voted on, we would then circulate it to the 15 members and begin the process. I'm happy to addressing. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. And this item did come before the admin committee, administrative personnel committee. We did bring this forward as for some discussion. The administrative personnel committee looked at all the options and they supported option C, which is no change at all. That I'm happy to address any questions.
Any questions by my colleagues?
Let me ask a question. So just for clarification. So the proposals all have to do with dealing with the alternate, correct? The actual primary member remain a member of the legislative body.
That is correct.
And every governing body would have to, every jurisdiction would have to approve that alternate.
Well, no, you wouldn't have to approve the alternate. Every jurisdiction would have to approve the JPA change. So we would then circulate an amendment to the to the third addendum, I think is how we legal counsel advised us would be worded. And all of your councils would then agendize it and most under either option, either option A or B, the language would be that the if a jurisdiction, if the tribe or city wanted to appoint a staff member, they would adopt their own resolution that identified that formally as their alternate. But that wouldn't have to go to then everybody.
Yeah. How are most tribes set up? Don't they have does every tribe represented here have a council, an elected council, same way the cities do?
We're kind of small, so we don't have enough members. And they're all in different areas. So basically, yeah, we're very tiny. So if, you know, I'm going to start getting busy soon, so I'm going to be attending to what I like to.
And I just, every tribe is different. Not to diminish or make anyone else's roles less. Everyone, city councils play a major role for their cities, and I recognize that. But with tribes, we're governments on the local level, right? County, state, and federal. So we're spread, you know, across depending on whatever issues we have. We also have economic duties for economic development, which takes a lot of our time as well. And then thirdly, something that you know, I think cities kind of understand now, we see a lot of friends in this room, we deal with a lot of cultural issues. So we have a cultural component to our job as tribal leaders. And we're all, you know, beholden to our members, just like you guys are. But we provide essential services, you know, education, healthcare, elder care, child care, all these different things. So I respect, you know, Chairman Mike, and he, you know, they are a smaller operation, so they're limited. Their members way smaller than even ours. So I think some sort of change to keep them involved would be better for us as an organization to try to accommodate. I don't know what that move is, but I do support, I mean, there's smart people in this room. I think we can come up with a solution to accommodate the chairman. And even we have, you know, a few tribal tribes in here that maybe their attendance isn't what we want, but of course they're dealing with things a lot different than we are. I hope that answers some of it.
Yes,
Chairman Mike, would a vote of maintaining the status quo frustrate you?
Well, just let me know where I stand. But, you know, in this organization, you know, as Chairman Bibi said, you know, each tribe is different. So if you guys want to keep it status quo, it's cool too.
And then, I heard the administrative committee made a recommendation. Can you help me understand what the administrative committee is?
I'd be happy to. We have an administrative personnel committee. It's a standing committee that meets once or twice a year, most often once a year. And that committee provides recommendations on the budget that feeds back to the executive committee, handles my personnel evaluation, annual evaluation, and a couple of other administrative matters. This was a policy call, administrative call. There was an information item that was provided to that committee. It's the chair of CVAG, the vice chair of CVAG, the former chair of CVAG, it's Ted Weil, last chair of CVAG, that is, chair of CVCC, and two chair appointees, both of whom were on the executive committee when the supervisor made the appointees, is Bruce Whitman and Nancy Ross, one hailing from Indian Wells and one hailing from.
I have a question for you, Chairman. Besides the frustration, would it be possible for you to make a certain amount of meetings, or are you saying for every single meeting? You know, I'm just wondering, because what I've seen as far as other tribes are concerned, I've seen, for the most part, chairman or chairwoman or the tribal council member come to the meetings. But I'm worried your point of view as to what degree would you participate? And I ask that because honestly, at the end of the day, I'd rather have you here than, you know, a surrogate. And that's why I could have Jeff here, but I'd rather be here. And anybody else here as well could have someone else on their behalf. I think that it, and I'm not saying there's going to be a certain number or whatever. That's just for your consideration. I think that would be something I think that we would all appreciate.
Well, like I said, you know, we have a governing, we have a BDC. One of those guys would be sitting here in case I have to leave. I'll be very busy for the next 2 years, so I don't think I'll be able to make a meeting or two. But I would like to get involved to have them keep me abreast of what's going on.
Yes.
I appreciated the alternative option for option B, and that if this is something that city would want to consider, there's they can make that formal action. But it seems like a fair accommodation, and that is then accessible to every member. Whether or not everyone uses it, I think is up to each jurisdiction's choice, but it seems a reasonable accommodation from my point.
Yes, Lynn?
I feel if we could change and make the amendment, it would give the tribe an opportunity to have consistent attendance. They are a small tribe. And it opens up opportunities of not only participation, but knowledge as well. And if you could have an alternative that's designated and have that consistency, I have no opposition. My mayor pro tem would be my alternative if I couldn't be.
So let me now turn the question around that you asked Tobers, who was the chairman, as to potentially this being frustrating for him. Would this be frustrating for the cities? Would the cities be open or resilient to move in that direction where obviously you'd have to take this back? And I guess get some sort of approval and maybe even take a vote on it, which could take time, a year, maybe, you know, by the time it gets everybody together, it gets all the information locked in. But I guess my question is for cities, this be an issue for you?
I think for myself, the chairman and tribe is, you know, like, I understand where he's coming from, and I wouldn't have an issue. What if both me and the alternate for our city couldn't come? Right. And then we still want to be at the table. What if there's like, you know, I'm going to use India's not here. So this is what's going to happen. You're not here. Then India wasn't here to be able to vote on their own bridge. right? If they were going to be able to have that alternate of sending in their brand new appointed city manager that's going to get appointed or someone, then they have that opportunity, because then you have someone, the executive, who is able to talk and dialogue about the what's going on at the, they know the high level, they know what's going on, and they probably regularly meet with those two individuals. So that's my perspective, right? I wouldn't be frustrated. Actually, I would open it and be able to, you know, of course they got to go to everybody, but I think that opportunity is where then you have that ability to still be able to have a voice at the table, right? Because if you don't, if you're not here, you don't, you can't say anything. And you know, I know that they showed the statistics, but it's because he's if he's busy, it's like in the parameters that they're at, they can't send someone because, you know, Chairman Groupie said, like, you know, they're everywhere, they're stretched thin, right? They got federal, local, state. So then where do you fit everything in, right? And yes, we as agencies have to fit in the puzzles as well, but the structure is different. And so I think we got to really look at how a municipal government runs and tribal government runs, right? The difference and how things are structured. I think that's my comment. So
I just have,
yes, go ahead.
So the part I haven't heard it, and maybe I'm just misunderstanding, because I'm thinking it that you're busy often and you're stretched and you're traveling because you have to go places. But you, just like Joey, is participating from life, there is a way to participate remotely. So if you're in Washington, I assume they could just post where they are in Washington with your agenda, and they could, you know, you would know where you were going to be that day, and you could participate that way. So I'm curious as to why that option isn't going to work. And if you're saying that you're just too busy, like in the day, to even come, well, then that, you know, that just doesn't sit very well, because if it's important to you, or you're to your alternate that's also on your board, then you would make time to come. We all are busy too, and we have many things going on, but we schedule these, and if we can't, we usually get our alternate. I don't know what happened to Indio, you know, so we try to come, or if we can't, if we're traveling, and the alternate is, you may miss one, or we can post and do it remotely. So that's the part that I'm a little bit lost on. Are we saying you're too busy because you're traveling, or you're just too busy because you don't have time for
this? Right, I'll defer that question to Eddie.
He's asked to speak on behalf.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for that question. Eduardo Garcia, Senior Advisor for Government Affairs for 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians. I think it's a fair question, and I hope that we're not having to disclose the chairman's, you know, full agenda on Mondays at 4 p.m. I think the question from the member from Palm Desert really hits at the core, right? There are 109 federally recognized tribes, five of them that sit within your jurisdiction. Not a single one has the same governance structure and operates in the same way. The request today is to give you all the flexibility to, by choice, send an alternate or not, or continue to represent your agency as you do and as you are doing today. For 29 Palms, Band of Mission Indians, and Chairman Mike, it's important that there be someone here from the tribe physically at all the executive committee meetings. And that is the request. We believe that option A is a very narrow and really accommodates to the original requests. Option B gives you all the flexibility. And I think the example that the representative from Coachella just gave about the city of Indio couldn't be a better one on real time. So for 29 Palms by Mission Indians, it's really about continuing to participate, engage physically at this meeting and or any other meetings, but we're speaking of the executive committee meeting, to be able to cast a vote, be a partner, utilize with the other four federally recognized tribes that are part of CVAG its sovereign authority to contribute to the development and infrastructure efforts of CVAG's priorities, hence interchanges up and down the Interstate 1086 Expressway that are of much interest and intersect with the tribe's goals and objectives for economic development. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have specifically, but the tribe today is requesting to have an opportunity to send an executive level member of its team to ensure that that seat is filled and that the tribe's voice is also heard and when it comes to making decisions for the region.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Chair, maybe I could just clarify one thing. The city of Indio today could not have sent their city manager unless there was a formally adopted resolution. So under both of those options, just so we understand, it couldn't just be the day of, you could choose your city manager to come. So I just wanted to just clarify that as part. Most cities identify in correspondence to us who their member is and who their alternate is.
I real quick, Soto, and then
in terms of the flexibility being offered to all of the member jurisdictions, you know, one thing that I think is beneficial even for the city of Palm Springs and many cities in the region, we now have a rotating mayor, and there's just a lot more movement around our city council. And I don't know if my colleagues would want to have my city manager be represented in this body right here, but to have the option in the future, perhaps, if the majority are working professionals on city councils, I appreciate the option for flexibility. Whether or not we use it, that's a decision I will just, you know, we'll discuss next year if this passes, but I do think that there could be benefits to cities as well, to the tribes.
So the way the structure is currently set up, only myself or my alternate can attend, correct? So if we're going to go down this road to help with the attendance, then maybe we should talk about the policy itself. Maybe I wouldn't send my city manager. I would be open to sending another council member, myself, Mayor Pro Tem, who uses the alternate to this, had to be into a meeting or whatever happened. The San Andreas Fault opened up and got swallowed up on the way here. There's that option of another council member attending in our place to make sure that we do have representation. Everybody knows I'm a big baseball fan. So there's the Otani rule right now. Sometimes you have to adapt. And so I think what Chairman Mike's saying is maybe we need to adapt. I wouldn't mind exploring a special circumstance request from agencies that members that need some special circumstances. Wouldn't want it written in there that every agency gets his choice, but maybe that's an alternative.
So if I could just say a couple of things. I guess this is something new to us, right? And we're not used to this type of change per se. It changes. And potentially this could be something that could work for the tribe. My concern would be more of the cities. What I mean by that is, I think what makes CVAG as well very powerful. And it'd only be much more powerful, if you will, Mr. Chairman, if you were able to make the meetings as well, is the fact that, for the most part, every mayor makes it. And if not, or tribal chair or tribal leader on the council. And as a result of that, I think people see that as strength. We're all here at this table. And so what I wouldn't want to see, for example, although we can make accommodations for the tribe, is that our cities now begin to say, well, you know what? I don't feel like going to meet today. So I'm going to go ahead and ask my city manager or Jeff, in my case, to attend on my behalf. That's something for the cities to consider. I just hope that cities would, you know, obviously that would be your choice, but I just hope that that choice would be very, very, very good. Yes, Cindy?
One of the amendments that was done in 18 was to include the tribe.
So,
CVAG exec. Correct. Any tribal council can appoint one of its current council members in place of the tribal chair. So we introduced the chairs in 2018 of the tribes.
Formally introduced, yes. Prior to that, two of our tribes, Agua and Cabazon, had MOUs where they participated.
They didn't vote, right, at the time? Were they voting
members?
They
did vote. The state law changed that allowed tribal members to become formal members of a JPA. There was an MOU that did allow them to vote. We had a chair, Jen Chair Gruby served, I believe actually before the amendment went forward as our chair for a term and a half. And so, yes, and so the amendment, the third addendum and restatement, which was done in 18, brought in the two tribes, and then we had interest from Torres Martinez and from 29 Palms, and we did those with simple amendments to the third addendum,
right,
in order to keep all other clauses the same and simply add them in as members, which is why 29 Palms' membership date is different. It's 2021.
Because that's when the simple addendum was
correct.
Done. So, okay.
But yes, you're correct. You are correct that the 18 amendment, there were a few other changes, but the primary one was to bring in the tribes.
And we had regular representation from three of five tribes, four. Three of the four tribes for the most part. I don't support cities being able to send their city managers to vote. We're elected officials and are held accountable for the decisions we make on a regional basis. It's not a good precedent, I don't think, for city councils to have that option to do that, because then it becomes, oh, I'm just too busy, I can send somebody else. And we find out we're not having meetings every month, they're every other month. I couldn't go back to my council and try to advocate for that. And I'm looking at the personnel committee, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 jurisdictions are on that. Rancho Mirage, Desert Hot Springs, City New Orleans, Life, and supervisors, chair. That obviously had a discussion and didn't like the change. I'm not opposed to looking at something for the tribes, but and I love Chairman Mike, but it's one thing if the tribe that's been here consistently on the meetings said, hey, can I get an alternative because I'm having issues being able to staff or be here or get my alternative, but we haven't seen 20. And we had involvement in 29 on our energy commission, which was great. That was Anthony. And then we formed the JPA for CBPA. They do have the option of joining that as well. And I know the alternate piece is a challenge, but there is a remote option, as Mayor Gregory had indicated. And I guess my question is why and why now? If there was a consistent pattern of engagement, but now it's let's social GPA. How do we find that alternate? And do you have alternates, Chairman Mike, that are tribal members that could either Zoom in or physically attend like the other tribes do?
No.
You don't?
No. I have members, but they're, like I said, they're not going to want us here.
Are there other voting members in?
We don't even have a vice chair, so okay. We're that small.
Because you've got voting members, right? Yes. Unless you voting members. Because I think that's one of the things that if you're here as an elected representative, to have an alternate that also is a voting person on your jurisdiction, that's the weight that's just the precedent that concerns me. And I'm trying to figure out a middle ground, because I recognize the tribes are different. And I respect the mass responsibility they have. I don't think the city should change the way we've been doing things on CBAG or the county. And I don't know if we look at, can we make an effort to try to have you Zoom in if you can't be here and show the engagement, because they're online all the time. And even if you weren't physically here, somebody could be listening in and reporting back and maybe not voting. And if anyone's not here, they don't get a vote, but usually they'll send their alternative, which is their vote down. So I guess my question is why now and why from the tribe that just hasn't been at the table? And I know because you're a one-man show and you're busy. But I'd like to learn more as to why. Because we have welcomed them for years, and it's available for years, and that I'm perplexed at timing and purpose and reason and looking at
perhaps we look at some type of change, depending on the tribe side, because I don't think we need to fix what's not broken. Our accountability is like, take that very seriously. I would not want to compromise any of our staff to be put in a position or situation where they're making decisions when we're the ones answering for our decisions.
So I'm not sure you may have a response for that, Chairman. Before you do that response, I do appreciate the idea of maybe making some sort of shift. Whatever that looks like, more than try. And I don't like your idea of making any type of shift for the cities. I know that we brought it up to the point where it gives us an equal playground now. But this seems to be working for us. It's just not working for the tribe. And I wouldn't want to see this change, to be honest with you, because that's what makes it look like a very, very marvelous. But we do have a tribe that is seeking our help. And so rather than having to change the entire JPA structure, which I don't know how long that would take, if there's a way in which we could create some crafty language, per se, on behalf of the tribe. And then, obviously, we stick to what we have been doing now ever since I can remember. I would support that.
Seven. So, what is your, if you want to disclose this, what's your total membership?
We're 22 members.
Okay.
But I'm the oldest one out of most.
Wow.
Of them, so.
You're the oldest one?
So, you've got an organization that may have a budget and land ownership that's on a par with a lot of cities. So I've got a population of 53,000 people that we can draw to represent the city. They've got 22 to administer. Maybe I'm not sure what exactly, you know, the size of your budget. Right. Lots of land you have to administer. You're dealing with infrastructure projects. So I'm perfectly happy to make accommodations for the tribes on that perspective.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seems like it's going in that direction, which is fine. Does anybody else have any comments, thoughts, or want to make a specific motion?
Well, before we do that, I guess, can we go back to the alternatives? Because a resolution is a timing issue. You can't always, is the resolution a standing or a per meeting if they appoint an alternate by resolution? Is that if they have to fill in for that next meeting, or it's a standing resolution that allows whatever designated entity to attend on a continuous basis? And should there be an expectation if there's an amendment and some flexibility that the chair attends a certain percentage of the meetings in person or remotely, or is it 100% going to be the alternate?
So we can certainly look at all those attendance provisions. If for something for consideration and bring back some new language for your consideration at a future meeting. That said, any change to the alternates is still going to trigger a JPA amendment process, and still going to because this is in the JPA. There's not a simple way to just do a quick amendment, as it were. This is the 29 POMS language, and it is in your staff report with some red lines there. Call it option A. Option B, so staff's attempt to address the challenge that comes with the county. The first option would provide some challenges for the county. And then obviously the original language, the one that admin committee supported.
Did you say the first option or the second option brings problems to the county?
Option A, that's why rather than just provide you with option A, that was part of the, because it creates a challenge for the county. That's why staff took a stab at wordsmithing with legal
counsel.
So we can come back if that is the interest, or unless there's a wordsmithing. We can certainly talk to legal counsel some more about how to address this. Again, if there was an interest in that, then bring it forward. Once there's consensus here, we would then bring it forward to all of your jurisdictions and also look at things like the bylaws and such. We do have attendance provisions for the chair rotation.
So can I just put it out there? Maybe I'll make the motion that this goes back, this language option B, was the legal counsel and staff to try to figure out how it would be worded, but to accept the fact that the tribe would be able to identify whoever it is that they choose to attend these meetings, while city stay on the same platform as we have been now for years.
Yep, we can.
That's where I would, and I would ask you to take that back. That's my motion, to take this that idea back, and then come after you talk to legal counsel, you guys figure it out. Come back here, and then we'll discuss it further.
Okay.
I mean, that's just a motion, though. I mean, I don't know if I got a support for that or not.
I'll second that.
I mean, some sort of unique exploration of tribes because of their makeup.
So to be clear, the motion says basically leave the language as it is today, but explore potential new language that will allow for.
That's correct.
Chairman Mike and his specific 29 Palms Band of Mission Indian.
Correct.
Technically, it was to be
for all tribes.
Changes all tribes.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
That distinction between tribes and cities. So we can make that distinction.
I don't know.
Okay. Yes. I'm hearing yes, that people want to.
Okay.
And that's fine with me. But, Chairman, did you have a question?
No, I just. Do you want to elaborate, Eddie? Did you have something to say?
Just go ahead, Eddie.
Thank you for that direction, Supervisor and members of this board. I just wanted to take it back to when we talk about the five governing bodies that are here that are sovereign nations. They all have very different governance structures. You heard from Chairman Mike, he's got 20 plus members. He is the elected member of this governing body that his tribal council has given authority to the chairman and the business development committee, which is made up of the CEO, CAO, and CFO, to make decisions, legislative decisions on behalf of the tribe. And so I just wanted to create that clear distinction and separation that there's no compare to a city manager equivalent. When you're wanting to talk about who the alternate could be, there's no comparison. It's tribal entity, tribal sovereign nation with a very unique and different structure of governance. So that's important to kind of level set on. Number two is any condition that dictates how many meetings any tribal member or representative is here, I think is outright inappropriate. Because not in any JPA that is operating today does it condition any member of this executive body to be here a certain amount of meetings. The goal here and the simple edit to the JPA is to allow the tribes who you've received letters of support from the majority of to appoint an alternate to attend physically to these meetings and participate in the regional decision making. Your motion and the direction that you're going in really lies in option B, because option B allows for that flexibility to the cities to do or not do any change to who represents them on the executive committee. So option B really is what you're directing staff to further look at and then come back with a refined option B that would allow the tribes to appoint an alternate, because no city here has the obligation to actually appoint an alternate that's not an elected official. That's really at the discretion of your city council governing bodies. But I just want to go back full circle that so, the tribes.
An option B, you're right, up to 7 cities. What I'm suggesting is, yes, we look at how we're going to support our tribe. Now, tribes. But cities remain the same.
Right.
That's, so there's no option for the cities. It's for tribes. That's only different.
And I don't think the motion is approval of option B. It's to explore language that would be specific to come back to the council to vote. So that I believe is the motion.
Understood. I think what we are alluding to is that you have a framework that is 90-some% there to accommodate what the tribes have requested in support of Chairman Mike's request to have an alternate be present at the CVAG Executive Committee. Thank you.
Any other questions or thoughts or concerns or ideas? My colleagues.
Good luck making it simple for us to get it approved at our city council meeting.
Okay, the question means there's a problem for a vote.
I've got an idea.
Okay,
Tom? Do you want it?
No.
All right, then you don't have to have it.
You know, I mean, bring it up. You should have brought it up earlier. What do you got?
It takes me a while to think. I'm getting old. Flexibility would be nice. There's an obvious difference here. We have a special case with one member and not a backup member on its council. One option would be to modify the JPA and indicate the alternative shall be another elected official unless the executive committee makes an exception. That way you have flexibility. You could, if there's a special case and maybe that case changes, there are a couple of other tribes that may ultimately join CVAG, and I don't know what their governing structure is. You could then have the flexibility to make an exception to the rule in the JPA. And that could be done at the executive committee if the JPA allows for that to happen.
Is that easier than going the route that we're talking about?
It's the same the first time, but if there's a change again, it makes it easier to modify things for the future. So,
and at the end of the day, though, the tribe would have flexibility. And you're saying the cities would have what then? The cities would have flexibility or not?
Only if the executive can deal with it.
Okay, only if the executive can deal with it.
Which, if you want to keep it insane, then you wouldn't have flexibility.
And then we would explore this option as opposed to what you just brought up, as opposed to what I'm suggesting.
You know, we could bring both back to the next meeting. So there are a couple of different ways to approach what you make or the motion, the second, have suggested. We'll bring back a couple of ideas to the next meeting and finalize it. Potentially finalize it.
Okay. Are you done, Tom?
I am.
You got any other ideas coming up?
You've kicked me in. I know I do not have any other ideas.
All right. Anything else? I got a second, and I believe I had a first. Or did I make
you made motion?
You made the motion.
Okay. You made second. Okay, thank great. You. Any other questions by my colleague, just to make sure. All right. Call the roll, please.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
All right.
City of Coachella. City of Coachella.
Aye.
City of Palm Springs.
Yes.
City of Indio is not here. 29 Palms Band of Mission Indian.
Yes.
Cabazon Band of Puya Indian.
Would you repeat the motion?
The motion is to do some additional wordsmithing, come back with a couple of options for further consideration.
No change in language today.
Tribes.
Tribes specific to the tribes, to providing flexibility to the tribes and not cities.
Extension, need to talk at council.
Okay. Aguacaliente Band of Puya Indian?
Yes.
City of Indian Wells?
Yes.
City of Cathedral City?
Yes.
City of Palm Desert?
Yes.
City of La Quinta?
Aye.
City of Bly?
Yes.
Riverside County District 1, Riverside County District 2, Riverside County District 3, Riverside County District 4,
aye.
Riverside County District 5, and City of Rancho Mirage.
Yes.
Chair, the motion passes.
All right. Thank you, everybody. I'll entertain you. And District 1, District 2, District 3, and District 5, case in point. All right, folks. We got to that. And we'll come back to touch you. Chairman, obviously, we'd love to have you as much as possible. I get it. You can't. But certainly know that by you being here, I think we're going to make this strong. Thank you. Okay. With that being said, item E.
Don't make
me. I'm sorry?
Don't make.
Yeah, gotcha.
My last item, and this is officially a public hearing in order to ensure our compliance with AB 2561. You all might remember that the California legislature passed and the governor signed this bill to provide additional transparency related to government job recruitments and vacancies. In essence, what that means is once a year, I get to come to you and talk about our recruitment and retention efforts.
Okay, so you want to do the staff report first, and then we're going to open up the public hearing.
Yes, please. Okay. You'll formally open the public hearing.
Go ahead.
And look. Again, I'm going to provide you with an overview of our staffing levels, some recruitments, our retention efforts. And as a note, CVAG does not have any unions or bargaining units. Some of your cities, you might see something a little bit different because they have some different requirements when they do. Okay, CVAG, in addition to staffing CVAG, our team, small mighty staffs, the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission, Desert Community Energy, and now the Coachella Valley Power Agency. We are about 42 full-time employees. I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of what our turnover looked like for this year. We did have two departures over the course of the fiscal year, and we hired three new staff. I recognize that math doesn't quite math. We were in the process of hiring from a vacancy the year before, and we also had some vacancies which have led us to our current recruitments, which you'll, Our current recruitments, we currently have two recruitments underway in our transportation department. If you go to CVAG's website, you'll see three recruitments. That's because we have noticed that some of our future employees are a little turned off by the word engineer, and some are really enticed by the word engineer. So we're running the program manager two ways, but it will be one recruitment. We do have a number of locations that we're recruiting at. These are all probably familiar to those of you who have seen some of your cities. Recruit as well. This year, I'd like to focus a little bit on retention and growth within our staff. Some of you have heard, and as we just explained to the admin personnel committee, we've done an incredible amount of focus on staff training and investment in staff education over the last couple of years. I'd note that our conservation director actually got into a National Academy for Conservation Leadership. We also have had a number of staff go through the College of the Desert Leadership Program. We have some individuals within Leadership Coachella Valley, and we also offer a benefit at CVAG that provides some training and wellness for our individuals as well, and that includes some professional memberships. This past year, we also spent a lot of time with one of your former colleagues, Robert Radai, who runs a company called Integral Advantage. He does work nationally to do a number of organizational leadership and just all sorts of leadership related and organizational management. We first brought Robert in to do some 360 evaluations for our directors, and then he did a staff-wide survey and compared it to over 500 individuals from multiple public and private sector organizations. A summary report is in your packet. I'll provide it up here. Big picture is that CVAG, across all nine indicators, is scoring above the benchmark population. So this means, in Robert's words, that employees participating in the assessment perceive CVAG's leadership conditions, workplace environment, and organizational outcomes more positively than individuals in the benchmark population. We did not stop there, though. I will say that we then took these results and had a staff-wide workshop last summer and identified some ways that we can continue to improve, and we're continuing to roll out some of those as well. One of the other items we included in your packet is also a look at our risk management as it pertains to staffing issues. CVAG was actually recognized by the California Joint Powers Insurance Authority, or JPIA, for the 2025 Risk Management Award for Best Overall Performance and Liability Program. You'll see a summary of the staffing related liability claims in your packet. I'm going to summarize them here. I note that we asked JPIA to focus on their members who did not have law enforcement, direct law enforcement, because that obviously can change your numbers. So here you'll see the total frequency and number of claims. And we decided to pick on Tom a little bit. We went back through his tenure. So this dates back to 2009. You'll see that CVAG is performing well there. When it comes to frequency when on the payroll, then I'll load this up. You'll see how CVAG performs there. A few more. When it comes to cost of claims, you see that by jurisdiction, CVAG had one. I do want to take a note here that CVAG is in a pool. Our risk pool does not allow CVAG staff to make the decision on whether to pay a claim. The decision to pay a claim is done by JPIA. And in this case, we understand there was a business decision. Anyone who's watched one of these claims knows that the lawyer costs would likely have far exceeded the settlement that was done. And then lastly, we have our liability loss rate based on a payroll. You'll see us there. So Chair, would ask that you formally open the public hearing, take any comments, and I'm happy to address any questions.
Thank you. I'll open the public hearing. Do we have any comments by the public? I'm not present. Do we have any comments over the phone?
Anybody
online? None. See none. Okay, I'll close the public hearing. Colleagues, any questions from you? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve recommendation? City makes motion. And fostering that motion. Madam Chair, Madam Clerk, please call us the roll.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Aye.
City of Coachella.
Aye.
City of Palm Springs.
Yes.
City of Indio. 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians.
Yes.
Torres Martinez as a Cahuilla Indian. Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Aye.
Aguacaliente Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Aye.
City of Indian Wells.
Abstain.
City of Cathedral City.
Yes.
City of Palm Desert.
Yes.
City of La Quinta.
Aye.
City of Blythe.
Yes.
Riverside County District 1. Riverside County District 2. Riverside County District 3. Riverside County District 4.
Yes.
Riverside County District 5. City of Rancho Mirage.
Yes.
Chair, please motion.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Moving on to item six, that's just informational, folks, for you to take a look at. That's A through H, and this is something Bernie that you want to know right now. Otherwise, take that home for your pleasure. If there's any questions, let's go ahead and move on to number seven. The set of items, I understand we have two very short reports. Report with capital S, and then mine, old friend.
I'll keep it at 10 minutes. Just very quickly, Honorable Chair, members of the committee, just a few items I want to update you on. We continue to engage on the legislative process. The big bill I wanted to highlight for you, one of our big priorities is monitoring legislation that may impact CVAG's operations or its member agencies. And the big one is SB 1087. It's the SB 375 modernization bill. I know it was brought up in Transportation Committee by Councilwoman Jan Harnick. Just wanted to put that on your radar as that bill moves through. We're still in the first house process. Also, we took positions on a number of bills. Just wanted to highlight a couple. SB 1423 would have required STIP funding, which we rely on and we use for its flexibility to move on to active transportation projects or non-active transportation projects. This bill would have required 50% of the money to go to ATP projects. We want to retain that flexibility. So we opposed. Also, another bill that resurfaced this year, it's been coming up the last 3 years, and that's codification of the state's climate action goals into transportation funding. In our region, we still want to be able to have the ability to expand transportation, like adding more lanes, for example. And so we oppose that bill, given its broad brush stroke and its impacts to our region. Another important bill for our area is SAB 1885 by Assemblymember Gonzalez. This would be the CEQA exemption for CV Rail. Bill hasn't been set for a hearing. From our research into the reasons why, is there was a lot of CEQA reform bills last year, a lot related to infill housing, not really a lot of appetite going into this legislative session, particularly in an election cycle year. And there's a number of items we're following related to the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. And also I highlighted for you our earmark request for this year. So happy to answer any questions before we kick it over to or Cal City.
Okay, moving on. 7B update from the California Cities. Jesse.
Yes, good evening, Executive Council, Executive Committee and Chair and Staff. I want to thank you for your time today. We've had a really busy month, as I'm sure you all have as well. The legislative season is in full force. I want to first start by thanking the City of La Quinta and Mayor Linda Evans and McGarry for hosting our last meeting in April earlier this week or this month. We were at the beautiful La Quinta Resort, and so thank you to Jasmine and her staff as well. The City of La Quinta definitely knows how to host, so thank you for that again, and we look forward to it again next year. A couple things I wanted to put on your radar, and one more importantly, just wanted to give you an update. Last week, we had over 40 members of the Riverside County delegation join us in Sacramento in advocating. I sent over a trifold, which has about a dozen of our priority bills. All of these are Cal Cities sponsored. It does have a couple of those bills that are opposed to, and we've put those on your radar. I do want to say that it is a very long week. We start Tuesday evening. We scheduled meetings with 8 legislators. Our legislative reception had up to 30 legislators. And we had back-to-back meetings basically all day Wednesday and Thursday morning. And so a huge thank you for the membership here in Riverside County that attended in full force. I think it was a total of 17 cities and 40 members that that were up in Sacramento with us last week. And so I want to thank you for all of that. Our next meeting is May 20th. We will be having a joint meeting with Inland Empire, which is San Bernardino County Division. We're currently capped at 180 people, so please register. There was a registration link that went out last week, and I'll be sending out another tomorrow. We are currently registered at 120, and we do expect to sell out, so please put that on your radar to register, as it'll sell out pretty quick. We will be discussing at that meeting AI and its implementation in public safety. We'll be hearing from Sheriff Shannon Dykus as well as Sheriff Bianco. They'll be giving us a public safety update, and so we look forward to seeing everybody and hearing from them. One bill that I did want to put on your radar, it's a Pappin bill, and this started as a spot bill for Cal Cities. But essentially, this bill would allow cities to start the housing element review process 6 months early. This is coming from an audit late last year that basically said there were some timeline discrepancies between HCD and cities. And this came as a result of that audit. And so we're really looking for letters of support. Once again, that's AB 2296 by Pappin. We have started also a legislative call with WRCOG, RCTC, SBCTA, the county folks, Catalina Herrera and Jeff Green, where we will now be engaging on regional bills. This is something that is new to our executive committee, but council member Colleen Wallace in the city of Banning, who is our president, really would like to get more involved on local legislation. So if there's any way we can help support the efforts over at CVAG, we'd be happy to do so. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on the trifold if you have any, but that's the majority of my update. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, thoughts, ideas, concerns, my talk? Okay, seeing none, no required action on both these items, so moving forward. I understand that we do have public comments.
Yes, sir, we do.
Are they here in person?
Yeah. We have a couple. I believe we have a total of 4.
Yeah.
Am I stating your name? And so we can all go together.
So how many public comments are there?
We're all going to go together. Yeah.
Okay,
so that's okay.
Public comment as a whole?
Yes.
Okay, so usually we give how many minutes?
I believe it is 2 minutes.
At this okay, we're going to give you 3 minutes. That's okay?
Absolutely. All right. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for entertaining us. We're here. My name's John. These are my classmates, Yvonne, Erica, and Izel. We're CSUSB social work students, and we are here as part of a community advocacy project related to the drug Kratom. We're here to urge your support and advocacy in not only public education, but further legislation to restrict the sale to minors. As of right now, there's issues that I will let my classmates fill you in on. But for those of you that are unaware of it, my classmates will educate you a little bit about that and detail it as a public health and public safety concern.
Thank you. My name is Itzel. So we decided to do this project. We are aware that the city of La Quinta did go ahead and put some restrictions at the beginning of this year. So in our effort to spread awareness, we were hoping that the rest of the cities throughout the Coachella Valley can implement the same thing. I'm sorry?
I believe the county did as well. Yes. I think perhaps the city of La Quinta.
So for some of you, if you don't know what Kratom is, it's basically a substance used for pain reduction management. A lot of people use it for withdrawal management if they are currently on opioids or other substances, reduce stress, anxiety, depression, but it can be harmful. And the effects do vary based on the amount or the dosage taken.
Hi, my name is Erica. So while Kratom is advertised as a natural herbal supplement, it isn't safe. It affects the brain in similar ways to opioids, and people do experience real withdrawal symptoms, just the same as opioids. Users have reported severe nausea, anxiety, heart palpitations, liver damage, and even in rare cases, seizures. It has been linked to overdoses, especially when combined with other substances. And because Kratom is not regulated, it can be contaminated, and it is varying in strength and dosage. These uncertainties make it important for our community to be aware of it.
Good afternoon. My name is Yvonne Zapata. An effort to see or gauge where education and awareness was, we recently went into the market at COD, where we probably handed out about 50 flyers, and five of our community members knew what we were speaking about, which is providing us an awareness that there is more education needed. So what we're really saying is that more people don't know what is being sold in their communities. And as a community member of Coachella Valley for my whole life, it's important that we believe that education should come first. As future social workers, that's the efforts that we want to collaborate with all our city officials here, executive members. So we thank you because we are trusting that working together as leaders, managers across the valley, not just with one city acting for the change, but as a whole, we can create change that will grow effectively for our constituents here in Riverside County. So we thank you for your time.
Thank you. Real quick, before you guys sit down, is there any other public comments?
Nothing. No.
With that being said, well, first of all, let me commend you, big hand, role of being educated, become a social worker.
Yes.
That's God's work. Honestly, at the end of the day, because the hours that you put in and the reasons you do it really touches a lot of people. Whether it's life and death situations or ultimately their hearts and their families, community involved. Not an easy job, and that's the reason why I think it's important to be here, at least for me. I'm sure my colleagues would agree that your job, you're studying for it, more power to you. And obviously, whatever we can do to be helpful, whatever the county can do to be helpful, for you to be successful. We're all in. I'm all in. I really appreciate the work of social welfare. At one point in time, I was a PhD student in Berkeley, studying at the School of Social Welfare. I didn't finish it. But tell you, I had a chance to learn in internships up there in the Bay Area. And I saw a lot of interesting things, and crazy things, unique things I would never have seen out here in this, in the desert. But that's where I learned too, how tough that job is. So thank you. And as far as the issue you're bringing forward, if you have any documents, any one pagers, anything you'd like for us to take back to our cities, to our colleagues, please leave them with us or send them to the purpose board or whomever, and that we could go ahead and designate for you to send that information. I'm sure the folks here would be willing to take that information to their respective jurisdictions. So that's just my thoughts. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts or concerns or ideas from my colleagues?
One follow-up, the cities of La Quinta and Palm Desert have asked that we take a regional approach on this. On May 11th, there'll be a public safety committee meeting. This will be agendized. Certainly welcome you all back and any information that you have. You could chat with Erica in the back there, get her contact information. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for driving all the way out here. I don't know how far you drove, but thanks for being here. For hanging out this whole meeting. Yeah. Maybe doing homework or something. Okay. So there isn't any more public comments to my understanding. And any announcements?
Yeah, the next meeting of the executive committee, the May meeting is really in June because of holidays. So June 1st. And another announcement I should have mentioned when Emmanuel came up. Manuel is getting an award from the chamber, Greater Chamber. Thank you.
Meeting next.
The cities have nominated and received this award too from some of your staff. So good work, Manuel.
That's it. On the closed session, when you adjourn this meeting, we'll take a 5-minute break. For those in the audience, you're welcome to stay here and wait to come back later. My guess is there'll be no reportable action. Hint, hint, go home, but you don't have to. and my guess is closed session will be about 30, 40 minutes.
Okay. That's it, folks. About 5 minutes. The election is going to happen. And
yeah.